Before we start tonight, we must start with thankfulness, because, brethren, I guess I might have been sicker than this before, but I don't remember when. I left here on Wednesday evening, and I lost the whole day of Thursday. I just did not know anything, basically, what happened on Thursday. And the fever broke on me this morning about 2 o'clock. And from that, I started to feel better. And I was always wanting to be out, but I just did not feel. This is one of the times where Jesus said that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I wanted to come, but the flesh wouldn't let me. But anyway, tonight I'm back to this into service, and I want to thank the Lord for all of the kindnesses that were extended to us, to the room, and otherwise. I'm grateful that my wife arrive in time to be here for my time of sickness. But I'm reminded again yesterday evening how nothing just happens. Because my wife came home, she said, Brother Mike's message was what I needed. She said that Brother Talbot's message was what she needed. So I know I wasn't going to preach those messages. And she needed some help. So God just works things out in his own sweet way. So we just have to take it as he sends it, as he gives it, and just be thankful. So tonight, I want to deal a little bit more along the line of prayer. You know, one time, sort of impromptu, I said to the congregation one Sunday night, next week we're going to have a revival on prayer. And my wife told me several times, she said she believed that was the best revival we ever had, because like the whole church needed it. Prayer is so very essential. We did not announce it. We had no brethren from anywhere come to the meeting. It was just personal for the congregation, and it was very good. At those days, we didn't even have the Facebook feature, but we just felt led of the Lord to make that announcement, and I wasn't even sure how it was going to go either, but that was the way he was directing me, and I thank God. I believe that we all got help from it. So tonight, I want us to take up our Bibles and go on over to the book of 1 Chronicles 13. But I want to start off with my pilot scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. And I believe that we could all say that by heart. If you care to, let's do that. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Tonight, our path needs directing. That is why God has designed it, as Jesus comes along and he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Solomon said, trust in him, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Tonight, for a topic, I would say, bad choices brings regrets. Bad choices brings regrets. And David consulted with the captain of thousands and hundreds and with every leader, and David said to all of the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto the brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and to the Levites, which are in all the cities and the suburbs, that they may gather themselves together unto us, and let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all the people, gathered all Israel together from Shihor to Egypt, even unto the entering in of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjatharim. And David went up on all Israel to Baalah, that is Kirjatharim, which belonged to Judah, to bring thence the ark of God, God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came onto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? And I thought, as I reached there, the Bible say that in all of our ways, we are to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Right. Now, we all know that David was a good man. We know David was a good, godly king. And what I'm seeing here in this particular scripture is that even good men can make bad choices. That's why, no disrespect to any man, but no man should supersede God in importance. He consulted with his military men, his captains of thousands, captains of hundreds. He even invited priests to come, and you know, all of the dignitaries were involved beside God. And the scripture tells us that if in all our ways we acknowledge him, he shall direct our path. Many times, just like David, only when calamity strikes do we realize, hey, we didn't even pray about this. We didn't really acknowledge God in this. And sometimes, as Christians, bad choices still brings regrets. It's not because you're saved now that a bad choice is automatically going to go away. The Bible says every disobedience and every transgression receive a just recompense or reward. So while it is a wonderful thing to have good people around us, good leaders, a good pastor, and many good deacons, elders, and good leaders in our midst, brethren, never let it ever seem more important to get their take on a matter before addressing or acknowledging God. God, and I agree that, or I would think that every good leader would agree with that. I want to know what God says. Sometimes I've asked the question, and I says, if it's a biblical question, the Bible can answer it. I said, not necessarily I can answer it now, but I believe with little time, I could get God's mind on the question. And I never try to give people, as it were, this is final, because I feel this way. I believe that God's word is supposed to be searched. I believe that God's word is supposed to it is our rule of faith. It is our guide. So he set this for us to guide us along the way. All of the instructions that we get or we need in life, God has put it right here for us. And still we see with all of the instruction, just like this generation, this is the most informed generation that ever graced the face of the earth. But yet everything that is wrong, that can go wrong, is more wrong now than ever. It is not because they don't have the knowledge, but many times they're just ignoring ignores the knowledge, thinking that somehow they can get by without really paying close attention to the knowledge and the things that has been researched. And think people just feel like you could just go ahead and live this life on your own. But tonight, when we look at David, we see here is a good man, and he's wanting to do a good thing. David had a good idea, and he consulted with many for their support, but even good ideas still needs God's approval. And this is something, I mean, it's maybe ABC things, but brethren, I'm telling you, so many times, it's like the situation with Naaman. You remember Naaman? When the prophet Elijah told him, he says, go so dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be cured of your leprosy. And he hit the ceiling, he foamed up, because rivers back home was better than that, and he thought he would at least had come out and rode this Hanover. Some did some miraculous work to cure him, and he ran away in a rage. And some of his soldiers said to him, "Captain, if the man of God had told you to do something valiant, something great, say, wouldn't you have done it? So we'll at least try what he says." And we know the end of the story. After he tried it, he was cured, he was healed. So tonight, when God has written out a prescription for anything, we need to really pay attention to it. So David had a good idea. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11 verse 14, another well-known verse, "Where no counsel is, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And I say, only if those counselors are being made are making contact with God as well. We have to be careful. You see, our spiritual walk, our spiritual outcome is a personal walk. It starts with us and God, and it's going to end with us and God. At the end of the day, you will stand before God to give an account of your life, the deeds you've done in this life, whether they've been good or bad, and nobody going to be able to put in a word for you. So every one of us are going to have to acknowledge God in all of our ways if we're going to have him direct our path. So David, with all of his good intentions, made a bad choice. Because in the 12th verse, "And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" There was the first question he should have asked. And that's the last question he's asking, when it should have been the first. "Lord, we never, the Bible says in the fourth verse, he says, or the third verse, "And let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." And it all sounds like, it's even because it sounds like a good idea, we better make sure that God is in favor of it and that we are doing it how God wants us to do it. It wasn't that the idea was a bad idea, but the fact was that he didn't acknowledge God. Because God has it recorded in his word how it was supposed to be done. You see, David was king. David knew some things, and sometimes even as leaders, we have to be careful, because at the end of the day, we are somewhat accountable for whatever we do or say to or for our people. So we have to make sure that what we say are backed up by the word of God, and he is in favor of that. So tonight we need to realize that to live for God is a personal walk. Amen. So David is now asking, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? And tonight, when we really think of it, we can see he wants to bring the ark. He wants to bring the ark of God home. But he's not following God's instruction. You see, the heathen people set this ark away on a new cart. And it wasn't the way that God had designed the ark to be carried. So as it stumbled, anything that man directly is in charge of is not going to line up with the will of God. And that somewhere down the road, it's going to shake, it's going to tremble, it's going to get out of whack because it wasn't ordained of God. And when we see the question that David asks, how shall I then bring the ark of God home to me? David no doubt made some inquiries, did some research, and we go on over to the 15th chapter, and it says, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark but the Levites. God had designed that was the way, and we can't change. I don't care how maybe people feel it's outdated or whatever. Whatever God has designed, it still needs to be followed today. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and it is all, just like the scriptures say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So tonight, it goes on and says, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister on to him forever. And as we go on a little bit further, and David called, verse 11, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests and for the Levites, for Uriel and Isaiah and Joel and Shemaiah and Ethel and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not after the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after due order. After due order, after the way that God has designed for the ark to be carried, to be handled, and that none was to carry it but the Levites, when he decided that was the order of the way for it to go, we read on to see that David safely got the ark back to the place that he had prepared for it. So tonight, even though the idea may seem good, tonight you might be here and you say, but I make too many mistakes. And in my mistakes, I get regrets. You see, sometimes even as Christians, we do make some mistakes. But then I thought, as sinners, you're outside of the will of God, and many times you make bad choices, and those bad choices definitely end with serious regrets. So tonight, prayer is the key to spiritual existence. If you're going to survive spiritually, you're going to have to pray. And not just once in a while, in all thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So if we would all acknowledge him in everything, and you know, sometimes he says all things, and then we feel, well, this thing is so small, and I mean, I so got this that I don't even need to ask God about this. And that little thing that you taught you so hard, that's the one that gives you the biggest regrets. You see, sometimes we do things, the Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, sometimes, I'm telling you, people may be seem to be getting away with some things because they may not know no better. But to you and I that know better, we need to act and conduct ourselves like we know better. So tonight, prayer is so very essential in all of our lives. I know for sure prayer has helped me just this over this little, this bout of sickness. I thank you all for your prayer, because without it, I don't think I would have been here tonight. But so prayer, I found myself praying, Lord, help me to get back out. I you know, Brother Decker came down and done such a good job down in our little congregation, and I say, here I am, come up here to get sick. And you know, Lord, I really wanted to come get back out, but I'm also grateful that the Lord was able to, I suppose, keep me in till I felt well enough to come back out. So, but let's remember, prayer, brethren, is so essential. So prayer brought about prayer could have avoided this whole ordeal of regrets, because it could have been avoided, because if he had asked God first, God would have directed him on how to bring it back. Right. And then Uzzah wouldn't have had to die. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And then there's a scripture that also says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. That is what we have to realize. It seems there is a way that seemeth right. Just seem right. It seems so right, you don't even question it. When the king said it, and they just concluded, if it be of God, let's go for it. But the Bible didn't really say that it was of God. They assumed it was God because it was a good idea. Let's find out from God first through the medium of prayer. One more thought along the same line, basically with David. David is a person that has brought much comfort and challenge to our heart and life. And when we really think of these things that are written, what do you think they're written for? Just to take up space? Why were they written? You know, sometimes Romans 15 verse 4 is what I'm looking for. And these, you know, I often think of it, but this is what the Bible tells us that those things was written for. Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Those things that were written. Now, why would God have this recorded, you know, when David have so encouraged our hearts hundreds of times in the psalm? And I believe some of the things that he is using as encouragement now is probably lessons that he learned the hard way as well. Because I think it's in the fifth division of the psalm where he committed himself. He says, each morning you will hear my voice. I have to acknowledge you in all of my ways. You know, it's like you shouldn't be making the same mistake over and over. But if we keep forgetting to acknowledge God, we will make bad choices, and bad choices will always end in regrets. So tonight, backing up a bit to 2 Samuel, you see a similar incident. Second Samuel 24. And here the Bible is letting us to know that again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of his host which were with him, go now through the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I might know the number of the people. I don't believe anybody needs to know or can really know the number of God's people. But back there, apparently there was, this is a literal Israel, and there were times where the children of Israel were numbered. But again, even as a good man, the devil will tempt good men. The devil will come in ways and cause us to make bad choices. That's why the higher up the ladder we go spiritually, the more we need to pray. The more humble we need to be, because we becomes a target. Remember what Jesus said to Peter just before going to the cross? He said, Peter, Satan desires to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. I remember preaching a message sometime, are you desired by Satan? We have to realize when the morning church, when they killed James, and Herod saw that the people had, you know, were making a big ado about it, and how happy of that, he pursued also, went on to take Peter. Leadership of the Church of God especially are always a target for Satan. When you pray, you need to pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders, because believe me, Satan desires to have them. So here is a good man, and the Bible says that God, now I don't ask me to fully explain that why and whatever, but basically he moved David to number the people. And to number the people, There was only one reason, one time that you were supposed to do that. Whether it would be called a census or not. But as we read down a little bit further, here is David sending Joab. Joab was a very ruthless man. He killed in cold blood. He had no scruples with killing. He had a command. He just went and he make heads roll. That's how Joab was. Along with his brother Abishai, they were a force to be reckoned with. At some stages, David himself said the sons of Zeruiah was too strong for him. But here, a man that had no scruples with taking out people on the king's command stands up and argues with this good man. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord God add unto the people how many more soever there be, 100-fold than they, and that the eyes of the Lord may be kindled. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever there be, 100-fold. And that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captain of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. The 8th verse says, so when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of the months, at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and they were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. Why are we having regrets after doing things? You know, we brethren, if we do the wrong, Scripture tells us, God say, he that doeth wrong shall suffer for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons with him. So prayer tonight will keep us from making so many actions that would be spin off into regrets. So David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And now I beseech thee. Why didn't he beseech him before he done this thing? Now we see David coming back in these two instances and acknowledging that he done wrong, and now he's acknowledging at this late stage, I've regrets. I've done what I've done, and I've done foolishly. Tonight, my brethren, let's pray that God help us to acknowledge him in all of our ways so we don't have these comebacks, these regrets. Because, brethren, God, if he directs us, he is the one that directs us through the back home, we say, the reefs and the corals and the places where danger lies. God knows what's out ahead of us. And if we just acknowledge him, he will direct our path. So tonight, let's learn from David. Let's see how we can avoid making these mistakes. Just one verse, back over into Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30, beginning to read at verse 11 and 12. Exodus 30, 11 and 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. Here was a selfish motive. David wanted to know how many the children, how many valiant men was in his kingdom. And there was apparently no time. There was not the time to take census or however they'd done it. He just wanted to know. He says, that I may know the number of the people. That was not the reason that God gave for numbering the people. So we have to, every minute detail, how to be followed. That's why in all of our ways, I remember telling you about the preacher that had asked the congregation what was the meaning of all, and it was such a simple little question. Nobody decided to answer. Then one little boy put up his hand. He said, tell him what's the meaning of all. He said, Pastor, all means all, and that's all. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Big ways, small ways, tiny ways. Acknowledge God. Because whatever he tells you, remember what Mary told the people? He says, she said they were out of wine. And he told her his time was not yet, his hour had not yet come. But she leaving his presence at the moment, maybe, she said to those that was there, whatsoever he saith to you, you do it. And I'm telling you today, that is still sound advice. Whatever he says to you, do it. So tonight, even though we're glad to have counselors, people that can help us, remember, you're saved on your own merit through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can answer to God. The scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace where you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. So everyone, no matter how simple you may think, I just got saved a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know how to pray good. Pray. Just talk to God like you would to a friend. Just talk to him. And if you keep doing that, talking to God, asking him to help you each day, and when you're going to make choices at school, when you're going to make choices at work, whenever you're going to make choices in the home, Lord, 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 And I'm telling your life will be much better. So tonight, just simple little message. Bad choices brings regret. And if in all of our ways we would have acknowledged him, these regrets could have been avoided. Remember, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God bless you tonight is my prayer.